Helmets and Heels, built by Dreamfinders Homes,
yippee,
is presented by Underwood Jewelers and American Window Products on 1010XL. Now your hosts, Donna Murphy, Lauren Brooks, Amanda Borges, and Blythe Brumley.
It is Helmets and Heels, built by Dreamfinders Homes, on a Tuesday night, every Tuesday night from 7 to 9. And I would be remiss in my duties as the host of the show if I don't say that from 8 to 9 tonight, if people tune in to 10:10 a.m., they will hear the UNF Coaches Show with Matthew Driscoll. In case they are looking for that, it's presented by Hi-Fi. In case they're looking for that, they need to go to 10:10 a.m. If they're looking for us, they need to be on 92.5 FM. Because I know there are people who drive around who prefer one of the stations to the other. So even when we got the 92.5 FM, you'll still talk to people and they say, I always listen to AM. I just like it better. And then there's people like me who are, I am definitely an FM girl.
Same.
But if there's something
Dempsey's
only
an AM or
really?
An FM. I think Dempsey's an FM
guy.
Yeah.
Makes sense. So I haven't decided yet because I haven't talked to really anyone at work. But there's, whenever you mention Mike Dempsey, there's something in the back of my mind that's there, Donna. Specifically, Donna.
Okay.
He wanted us to go to Super Bowl 50,
yes.
The two of us, in Santa Clara, 2016. By the way your voice sounds, it sounds like that's out for you.
Yeah. I mean, everything's happening at once with the house and moving in, and I can't take time away for that because I'm already going to ask time away during the holidays, which is a horrible thing. To move in, so I'm like,
it's a great thing.
Pretty sure they wouldn't. Michelle would not like it if I. Oh, by the way, I need a whole week off too. So.
I had drinks with someone yesterday, and she told me that she's going on a 2-week trip in December to Mexico.
Wow!
And the best part is she's going with like her family, her parents, and her boyfriend's parents.
Wait, who?
So, a girl I had drinks with.
Okay.
And so I was like, how great is that to like not just escape for Christmas, but to also have like. All the families there that you want. Wouldn't that be fantastic?
It would be.
That's amazing.
I know, right?
2 weeks especially in Mexico.
And December's that time when you're like pasty white and you're hoping.
I'm already at that point.
You're right. You kind of started at that point, didn't you?
Yeah, but you know, that's what the summer's
I'm just teasing
for.
Aw, pasty Amanda.
When she came, when she came up from Tampa, I was like, girl, you've got
girl,
to
are
get
you from
out
Florida?
There. It sure didn't seem like
it. I know.
It's something, like I said, it's in the back of my mind, but just want to make sure that we also, you know, have everything all set at my job as well. We are now going to do five things at once.
Audience is like, why is it sound
so weird? Why is Lauren talking in a choppy voice?
Because we want to make sure that our wonderful producer, Scott, is aware that Derek Marinata
is on
just
the red
walked
mic.
In and is on the red mic.
Perfect. Yeah, exactly. Okay. So that's a little behind the scenes stuff. So, yes, we're going to have Ospreys head coach Derek Marinata join us right now. Hi, Derek.
Hi, how are you doing?
Good, thanks. How are you?
I'm doing great.
Congratulations,
great to be here. Thank you.
Man. This is exciting.
We're excited. Yeah, we're definitely excited. It's an exciting time for the program, and to be hosting and get the opportunity to host is what we dreamed of in the beginning of the season when we talked about it, and everything kind of fell into place with us taking care of business and upstate upsetting Gulf Coast. So to play at home is a dream come true.
So everyone kind of around my office, in case people don't know, I work for UNF. But even if I didn't, we would still have Derek on because it's a really exciting thing. It's a conference championship. And so Saturday night, I'm in the what we call like the game management area. And I'm right next to the Atlantic Sun Group, who's got their laptop on this Gulf Coast USC Upstate game. And I want to give you all a little bit of background. So USC Upstate is a team that two of their soccer players passed away in a car accident earlier this season.
Oh, my gosh.
Right.
Awful.
And so it's, you know, it's sad and all that stuff. So, like, anybody with a little bit of like underdog in them is already, you know, rooting for them.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Well, and then we knew if Gulf Coast lost that USC Upstate would then come up to us as long as we win. So their game goes Gulf Coast 1, USC Upstate 1. Gulf Coast 2, USC Upstate 2. Mm-hmm. Gulf Coast 3, USC Upstate 3. So it's like back and forth. Meanwhile, our game is tied 1-1 throughout the entire game, throughout the first overtime, and throughout 8 minutes of the second overtime.
Wow.
So it's, yeah, it was nuts. And then their game went to overtime. USC Upstate pulled the upset.
Wow.
So then our game, we've got 2 minutes left in the second overtime. we're all like, oh my gosh, I can't believe this is going to go to penalty kicks. That's awful. Everyone hates penalty kicks.
Right.
You know what a penalty kick is, right?
I do know what a PK is. So thank you very much.
Well, everyone usually knows what one is, but they also, I always want to make sure people know what actual penalty kicks are, like, right, to, you know, win the game.
Right.
So, thankfully, we didn't have to do that. Derek, take it away as to what happened, because it, to me, it's one of the greatest penalty kick stories.
It was definitely a bizarre PK. So, Helga takes our PKs. He scored all his goals this season on PKs.
Helga Peachman.
Helga Peachman. He's a German. He's got great technique.
You can't not be a German with that name.
With that name, right? Yeah, there's definitely, there aren't many male, you know, or female
Helgas.
Yeah, male Helgas running around. So he stepped up to take the PK. The goalkeeper pointed to the side that he was, that he chose to go to. And he's gone to both sides, but he went to the same side he went to when he took a PK in the first game when we played them. So they knew where he went. The goalkeeper pointed. He went there anyways. The keeper makes the save. And then Helga, because it touches the keeper, Helga's allowed to follow his own rebound. The rebound comes right to him, and he does a diving header to score the rebound.
Oh my God.
For
it
the
was
golden
crazy.
Goal. It was about as nerve wracking. I was on one knee and I was like, please make this. Like, I do not want to go to PKs. Please knock this out. This is it. We're gonna do it. When he
and
got
at that
saved,
point, did you know, had you heard that we announced that Upstate had won?
We had not heard the announcement. I did not hear until after our guys celebrated and Aiden screamed at me, one of our players who's got a copper top, it looks like the Duracell battery. I'll explain how that happened. And how he got his hair dyed orange. But, yeah, so he literally screamed at me and goes, we're hosting. And I was like, oh, my gosh, 4-3 overtime. It was a shocker to see that Upstate upset Gulf Coast with their history and what they've done. But we did it there 2 years ago and kind of stunned them. And then watching the game, it makes sense. Gulf Coast made some mistakes. And Upstate's dangerous. I mean, they have the two guys up top, the Germans, that the leading scorer in the nation, Gordon Wild. So, we negated him the first time and won 2-0. It'll be definitely a different game with it being the final, but I still like our chances.
It's so weird that Florida Gulf Coast all of a sudden shot into college basketball. They had that, you know, Cinderella year, and now apparently I don't know how they are, how well they are in in college for soccer, but it just seems like you guys are just following in their little footsteps with, you know, getting into the tournament for college basketball and now, you know.
Well, Gulf Coast has been the dominant team in men's soccer and women's soccer.
Wow.
And men's basketball. So, in a lot of the sports, to be honest. And they've won 4 of 5 years. The girls have won like 4 years in a row. So, they beat us last year. The year before, we knocked them out. The year before that, they won. The year before that, they won. So, for us, you know, yeah, they've been a team that has become a little bit of a rivalry in soccer as well as it was with basketball. And, you know, basketball was able to take them out. You know, obviously I was looking forward to the opportunity to playing them again since we tied 1-1 in the regular season and we're co-champions. But I'll take it. Hey, to be able to host, we had talked about witnessing what basketball did last year. Most of our guys were in the student-athlete section at the basketball semifinals and the finals. And I looked up there and I said, this is going to be us next year. So they got a feeling of what it was going to be like to host. So again, to be able to do that and I think we're going to quadruple our atmosphere. I think we had around 800 people there. I think we're going to have around 4,000 people at the game.
We're certainly hoping so. Kickoff is at 7:00. It's at Hodges Stadium, which is right on the campus. Kicking off against USC Upstate. Tickets are just $10, or for kids under 17, $5. And then, of course, free to all UNF students, or really any students with an Atlantic Sun school ID, which is pretty good. That's so, cool. Derek, I know that you're very strategic in game planning, of course, and you don't even like certain things to be on film. So what would you say are the things that you're really looking forward to finally putting in a place that maybe you've been saving?
You mean for the game plan for Upstate?
Are you asking him to reveal secrets?
Absolutely.
No, I mean, obviously, we played them the first time. I don't think they're going to change the way they play for us, because they're going to, if good teams do what got them there and then let the chips fall where they may. I really do feel like, you know, obviously with the tragedy they had in their season and the dream run they've had, it's great, but I think this sets up for us to be able to host. We beat them 2-0 2 weeks ago at home, and I felt could have scored more goals. And so for us, if we play our game and we're organized in possession, we're going to create our chances. So for us, it's really scoring the goals. You know, we'll work on set pieces and be organized and make sure that we have and take advantage of any deficiencies they have. But at the end of the day, it's about playing our game, being consistent with it, and then taking our chances. Because if you score goals, it's going to make the game easier. And then we're kind of a possession team, so it makes it hard for them to get the ball. I think the first time we played, when we went up 2-0, we had like 4 minutes of possession, which is a lot in soccer to keep the ball for that long. And it can kill a team because you're chasing, you're defending. It can make you tired.
Exactly.
So for us, I think really just playing our game, and that's how we're going to get a result.
Well, I'm excited, but that's to be expected. And then, so we win the championship. I'm going to use we. And then tell everybody about the NCAA tournament.
So when we win the championship on Saturday night, Sunday's off. Monday we have the NCAA selection show, which is usually around 12:20. And then you'll find out where you're going. Typically, the ASUN conference winner for the automatic bid plays away on a Thursday, and then you play on Sunday. So you might play somebody, you know, at a site and then go and play on a Sunday against a seeded team to make it out of that. So it's typically 5 games, 48 teams, 5 games to get to the national championship, win the national championship.
Nothing.
So, yeah, it's 5 more games, right?
Are you guys doing any kind of whiteout or anything for this game?
I know that there's some scarves, I believe, that might be.
Scarves?
What we want people to do, so at the very first game, we did a giveaway for scarves through Campus Life, and so we have told everyone that got scarves then to show us your scarf. So, you know, come out in force. They give away 500. So if everybody comes out with their scarf, then that's going to look pretty good.
And I also forgot to tell you, Lauren, but somebody called today and said that they had a bunch of towels from basketball left over at one of the companies that makes the towels. And so he asked, he's like, do you think they would want the towels? I'm like, sure, let's hand out some towels. Let them rope around some towels. Why not? So I think there's some free towels. I forgot to tell you today at work.
Yeah, that's quite
that,
okay.
That might be
We're just conducting business on the air. No worries.
I'm just saying.
Welcome to my life, everybody. But yeah, perfect. All right. Well, Derek, I know you are now going to head over to the coach's show and join Richard Miller and Matthew Driscoll. On 1010 AM, which that show is live from the Boathouse from 8 to 9 in case all Ospreys want to go hit up 75-cent wings and $2 beer. So thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
I will see you before Saturday, but certainly good luck.
Thank you.
Of course, that was Derek Marinatis, head coach of the UNF men's soccer team, taking action Saturday night for the conference championship against USC Upstate. All right, we are going to get to a situation that we've talked about a little bit before, but now we have even more evidence to which to discuss. That is Greg Hardy and those awful photos that the police released from the domestic violence incident. We are going to get to that right when we get back, and we're going to say hi to Blythe. Say hi, everybody.
Hi.
Also, you're listening to Helmets and Heels, built by Dreamfinders Homes on 1010 XL 92.5 FM.
Helmets and Heels, built by Dreamfinders Homes on 1010 XL 92.5 FM.
Stop and got a little gasoline of the old BP. Rolled around and wound up in the middle of BFE. Spinning these wheels down a road that we ain't ever seen.
So,
who knows where we are?
As y'all know, I love country music. And last week, Old Dominion's album came out, their first full album. And so Amanda and I had been texting about it. And
that's all we've been texting about all week. Hey, what about this song? Oh my gosh, I can't stop listening. What about this one?
Steal Your Boyfriend or Dump Your Boyfriend?
Yeah, Break Up With Him. Yes, that's that band.
So there's a group called Old Dominion?
Old Dominion, yes.
You're not talking about the Collins.
I am not talking about the college. Although we will talk about college in just a second with the new college football rankings, playoff rankings having come out. But so I listen to an entire CD all at once, or an album, I should say, all at once. And then I pick out the songs that I love the most. And I feel like I can always just tell instantly. Mm-hmm. So I picked out a couple and I sent it to Amanda, and that was one of them, was Wrong Turn. And I just love it. So if you haven't listened to the full album yet, I highly recommend Wrong Turn.
Is it on Spotify?
It is on Spotify. Okay. Meat and Candy is the name of the album. Uh-huh. I mean, it's their only full album. Which, since we're talking about country music, Eric Church came out with his new album, but it's only released right now to church choir members. And as big of a fan as I am, I've never dropped the money down for that. And so it's not on Spotify yet for people.
Oh,
like
I get it.
On
Spotify.
church choir.
Exactly.
Like believers.
Like
or
his VIP, right. Yeah.
Okay.
Group,
like the fan club.
So not quite yet.
So not with it. You'll get there.
All right. Away from country music into sports. Donna, you want to update everybody on the college football playoff ranking?
I do. Please. We have a top 10. Should I go 10 to 1?
10 to 1.
10 to 1. 10 is Utah. Number 9, LSU. 8, Oklahoma State. 7
Ow.
Is Stanford. 6 goes to Baylor. 5 is Iowa. 4 enters in Notre Dame. 3, Ohio State. 2, Alabama. And 1, Clemson.
Which I am really surprised that Alabama edged out Ohio State. I know they don't really matter,
right.
But how do you take a one-loss team and put them in front of the undefeated? And yes, everyone can say the Big Ten's not that great, but Ohio State, under Urban Meyer, is 47-3.
But they
the guy
barely,
doesn't lose.
Yeah, but
and they beat Alabama last year.
Yeah, but they haven't won convincingly this year.
And their schedule is crap.
Schedule's not as good. Yeah. Granted, to me, though, you can't. It's like when they dropped Florida State last year without
right.
y'all losing. Like,
yeah.
to me, you don't drop that team.
You can't drop an undefeated team and put, like you said, a one-loss team above an undefeated team. That doesn't
right.
work.
And if you want to say, oh, schedule is not comparable to schedule, we're never going to have comparable schedules. We're never going to have comparable mm-hmm. conferences,
right.
you know?
Unless
but
don't you
do,
think
like,
they do a lot of this just to get
wins.
You talking?
Mm-hmm.
Just to get
oh,
you debating
sure.
about
Absolutely.
It?
Yeah.
Like, putting Notre Dame at number 4, everyone thought it was going to be Oklahoma State, and now they're at number 8.
Oklahoma State, to me, that's reasonable.
I know, but it's just so funny that everyone makes all these predictions, and then it's like, what? Just kidding, Notre Dame number 4.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that makes Irish fans happy.
Of By the course. Way, Florida is 11.
Yes, I am surprised for that. That low after Saturday's game, but we will talk about that a little later.
Yeah, what
later.
Happened against Vandy, huh?
So, we have this problem called...
I mean, I have no room to talk because Florida State lost to Clemson.
No,
so.
you. I think you have
you
a lot of room to talk.
Lost to the best team.
Right,
you're okay.
Right.
I personally don't think Clemson's going to win at all. However,
yeah.
Clemson is better than y'all this year.
Right.
So, they should have won the game.
Yes.
But I thought y'all played really well. If
yeah,
I was a Florida State fan, I would have been excited.
Yep.
As a Florida fan, do I think this is the end of the world because we couldn't score? No, because the referees jerked us around all game with terrible play... I mean, not terrible play calling, terrible, terrible decisions. Like, you can't reverse that touchdown. It was a touchdown, 100%. And I always take myself out of being the fan and try to look at it with unbiased vision like the refs are doing.
That is impossible.
No, I really do try, because I'll say, like, if
I know,
I watch
you
this
can
game,
try, but
well,
that's
like, I'll say to my dad, I'm like, Dad, now, if that was our player, you know, we would be screaming the opposite. So I really do try to be impartial when evaluating referees. And that was 100% a catch in the first drive. It was. Antonio Callaway Brandon Powell caught that ball. It was a catch. They overturned that. Then the targeting against Jordan Sherritt was completely inaccurate. The kid's running with his shoulder pad. I said we were going to talk about this later, but now I can't
yeah,
stop.
I didn't mean to.
The kid's running with his
Look
shoulder
what you did.
Pad
Bark
at the quarterback. The quarterback bends down at the last second, so he ends up like coming close to his head. You can't stop your momentum at the very final millisecond when the quarterback ducks
They're
down.
They're going to call it every time, though.
Yeah.
And,
every
I
time.
And I said, you know,
the
it's not the end of the world.
Rule.
That one didn't bother me that much, but I still was like, come on, when you watch the replay, you have to be able to see that that's not what the point of targeting is, that it's intentionally hitting his head, and clearly it wasn't. All right. Let's get to the topic.
Catch your breath after
I know.
That.
Are you
I know,
okay?
Right? Now it's about to get worse because we're going to talk about Greg Hardy. So... The pictures surface. We've already discussed domestic violence several different times in here. But what's happening, I think, to a lot of people is they're hearing this phrase domestic violence, and it's becoming almost like a trite phrase. It's becoming commonplace. Oh, another person domestic violence. And they don't really fully realize the severity of what's going on. So I'm going to let y'all talk first, and then I'll tell you my opinion last, because it makes me feel a certain way. But Donna, let's start with you.
I think pictures always change what you have in you, because you already have...
Or video.
Yes, you already have what you think happened, but you never think the worst. So it's like hearing about an accident and seeing the accident. You know what happened, but then you're there seeing it. So did it change my mind of Greg Hardy? No, because he's been my dud for weeks and weeks, and I already think he's a scumbag. But what it did change my mind of is her. And the reason why I say that is because she's the reason why he's not in jail. She's the reason. Because, yes, the jury convicted him, but then they appealed it. And because she didn't want to cooperate,
It's expunged from his record.
Yeah.
Like, it's no longer on his record
anymore. I don't blame her for what happened at all. But I place a slight bit of why we have to deal with him in everyday basis. It's ridiculous.
She decided to settle.
I don't understand why, if you get that many bruises on you, he threatens to kill you. Look, I certainly I watch enough soap operas to imagine that he pointed a gun to her head and said, I will kill you if you testify. I can only imagine that's what he did. Not, that's just me speculating. That is not proof at all. He's going to be away in jail. You know, if he has accomplices, great. Let's feed those. Let's find out who they are. But that's the only thing that changed my mind. He's a scumbag. He will forever be a scumbag. But it changed my mind on her. I can't believe she had that much damage to her body and she refused to cooperate.
I think it's up to the discretion of whoever is the victim to decide how far they want to take it. Because maybe she didn't want to go and face him again in a courtroom and have to deal with seeing him on a repeated basis. Now she has to deal with hearing his name all the time and seeing him on TV. But I think whatever decision she made, that's up to her, and I'm completely comfortable with it. But what I'm not comfortable with is people saying, well, this should have been a big deal the entire time. And it's like, yeah, it should have been. But whenever you see a headline that says woman drops charges against abuser, that doesn't resonate with you as it should. But now that we know her name, we know her quotes, we see the pictures, that's what resonates most with people. I've never been around domestic violence, and to see the Ray Rice video, to see these Greg Hardy pictures, that does connect me with the issue. And I think that that's the important takeaway that we have to, I guess, bring from this, is that these pictures, at the very least, are providing the discussion point. Because there are players around the NFL that are currently suspended from the league that we aren't talking about because there aren't any pictures. Mm-hmm. But we're going to be talking about this for a long time because the images that were released allow us to connect with the issue. And we wouldn't be able to connect on that level if we didn't have them. Imagery is so very important, and it's such a vital part of, I don't want to say storytelling, but this is a part mm-hmm. of her story. And in the same way that a magazine would never go to press without an image that accompanies the story, because you wouldn't talk about it, you wouldn't pick up, it wouldn't have that issue, wouldn't have a pickup value. But in this instance, this sheds a light on something that is a societal problem. It's not just an NFL problem. And for so long in our society, sports has been the first place where a lot of the cultural changes have been made in this country. And I think it's very, very important that we do have these photos, and it could be at the expense of her, but maybe it's for a greater cause.
I think that's really well said.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I agree completely with what you both said. My thing is, it's hard for me to put myself in her shoes, and it's easy to say, why didn't you take it all the way? He could be in jail right now. But I don't know personally how difficult it is to go through with that all the way. I've seen shows and watched documentaries on how women, like, they just, for whatever reason, like, they can't go through with it because emotionally it's just draining. It's exhausting. It's time consuming. You have to relive everything right. that happened again. And yes, if you can see the big picture, some people can, and that's great, but not everyone can be like, okay, I just need to get through this. As soon as I get through this, he'll be in jail and this will be over. But for whatever reason, she couldn't do it. And that's sad that, you know, now he's in our living room when the Cowboys play every night. And that sucks. Not every night. You know what I mean?
Every week.
But she just couldn't see the big picture, and that sucks. But like you said, Blythe, hopefully this can be used as sort of a precedence. This is where my negativity comes in. I don't really think it's going to change anything. Unfortunately, as humans, we look at imagery and we say, wow, that's terrible. And hearing about something and seeing something is completely different. So yes, the pictures made it more real, and it angers me that it became more real to people mm-hmm. when they saw the pictures than before. Like, there were lots of people that didn't really know how bad it was until they saw the photos, and they're like, well, this is absurd. And it's like, well, where were you when this first came out? Yeah, it's been absurd this whole time. But there's a part of me that's like, what is this going to do? Is Greg Hardy still on the team? Yeah. These photos have been out for a week or two. Mm-hmm.
And he's still about a week it was Friday afternoon that the images got released.
Right. So technically they can't, they don't have to do anything about it since, like you said, everything's been expunged.
Can you explain how the league saw these pictures, but the Cowboys were not allowed?
They probably
didn't ask for
it. The
Cowboys did. According to what I heard or read on Sunday, they did see the pictures.
So Jerry Jones lied.
See, I read differently. I read that the NFL saw them, but the Cowboys never saw them.
Like,
But they probably didn't want to see them.
Of course not.
Jones said, we did not have access. That is what he said.
You didn't request access.
Yeah, probably.
Come on. All you have to do is go to Google, dude. That's it.
Right. Well, they weren't released.
But if the NFL had access, then therefore Jerry Jones would have access because he's an owner in the NFL.
Right. But I didn't. I mean, hearing some of her quotes too, that she was the police were at the house and she was running away from the house because she was so scared.
Yeah.
And she told him to kill her.
Yep.
And that's what sends chills down my. That's when I was having chills reading that Deadspin story, and to see those pictures accompanied with it is just my heart breaks for her because she has to be so terrified in that moment, and who knows what crossed her mind afterwards. And I don't know how this changes, except for brings a greater awareness to it.
Right.
And I think to sort of give kudos to the organization of the Panthers, who walked away from an elite pass rusher in this league, which is very hard to come by, because they reportedly saw these photos. I think that that's a positive that we can take out of this. And I think another positive to take out of it is Ray Rice. If he doesn't get a job in the NFL, he publicly stated that he wants to bring awareness to domestic violence. So at least you have guys like Ray Rice that have messed up in their lives and they've seen the greater exposure that can come from this, and they're trying to find redemption in this regard. And then you have, you know, somebody like Hardy, who has shown no remorse. But yet everybody's saying, well, everybody deserves a second chance. No, you earn a second chance. You don't deserve one. You're not just granted one automatically.
Yep, certainly. Well, I will share my thoughts on the other side. You're listening to Helmets and Heels, built by Dreamfinders Homes on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
You're listening to Helmets and Heels, built by Dreamfinders Homes on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
Baby, last night was hands down one of the best nights that I've had, no doubt. Between the bottle of wine and the looking rise and the Marvin Gaye.
I don't ever want to talk when we pick such great songs. And by when we pick, I mean I may have submitted a few song choices today.
Because you never, you talk right away when it's my song.
Do I? Oh, I'm sorry.
Everybody does.
I always try to let you talk. To bring it back.
Poor Donna and her Elvis.
So great job, Scott. Thank you so much for playing so far these songs. So the meaning behind the first one, as we talked about, Min and I have been texting about Old Dominion. Meaning behind this one, a friend of mine proposed to another friend of mine today.
Oh.
Yeah, and I'm not going to say their names because, you know, in this world, messages have not traveled everywhere they need to go. But I was so excited. Right. I am not doing that.
But I'm guessing they said yes.
But yes, okay. She said yes, and I'm so excited for them. So
on
the first
Monday
song I think
Tuesday,
of,
that's
yeah,
really, wow,
right? Cool. Maybe they just wanted the publicity of. I'm just kidding. I didn't even say that.
Oh, from us.
Yeah. But no. So, Die a Happy Man. If you've never listened to that song by Thomas Rhett, oh, I absolutely love it.
The whole album.
Oh yeah, and the whole album. He's fantastic in general. Mm-hmm. But I just that song. It basically talks about he doesn't have to have all this great stuff in life as long as he has her.
Right.
And I just love it.
That gives me a great idea on how to give away our Peterbrook chocolate heel.
Yum.
I think that we can have our listeners go ahead and text us 641-1010 on the Boston Restaurant Sports Bar text line and tell us your engagement story.
I like it.
Tell me your engagement story. And we will give them a chocolate heel because it's so sweet.
Absolutely. And hopefully the person says yes in the end of the story. But if not,
I will take
we
either.
Will, yeah, we will absolutely
you get a heel for your misery
either, right.
Or heel for your joy.
Exactly.
What if you want to propose and you have like an idea?
Ooh, and the chocolate heel could help. That would work.
Yeah, sure. However that helps.
Wouldn't that be great if we got pictures of the Peterbrook chocolates here?
With the
chocolate
ring
heel
on
with
the
like
heel,
the ring?
Right.
That'd be awesome.
That would no longer be a surprise for the, the girl. She'd see the heel. Really? And then if he gave, and then whatever guy gives the chick a heel, now she'd be like, there's no ring in it?
Right.
No. What is this?
Take it back.
That's actually a great idea, to get shoes with your ring.
Yeah, that's true.
Not that the ring isn't great for me. Look at me being
I do like that word, the shoes is plural.
Shoes.
Well, like why would you get one?
No, pairs.
Oh.
You guys are so greedy with your shoes.
No, I just meant one pair, but I need two because I have 2 feet.
I can't really transition from this to Greg Hardy, so I am going to mention that you can register online now at 1010XL.com for a chance to bring your tailgate inside the gates at the Dream Finders Home Stadium home for the Titans game next Thursday night, November 19th. We have the link out on my Twitter handle, I know for sure, and to the other ladies, who I'm sure will be tweeting it throughout the show. And then we will pick one winner early next week who can bring up to, get this, 9 friends.
That's awesome.
9 friends, so there can be 10 of you. Just make sure you do have a ticket to the game, because what we're getting you access to is not into the game. We're getting you access to the front porch party. So it's going to be catered with complimentary tailgate food, beer, wine. Trust us, we've been there. It's fantastic food, and of course, beer and wine is always good. And then you get to hang out on the stadium home porch, which is the one on the side, so it's private. Enjoy the festivities like cornhole and all other fun
stuff. Can't call it that.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Bean bag toss for Donna. Everyone else in the South calls it cornhole.
Why? I don't get it.
It's horrible. It's a bean bag toss.
Okay.
She gives up. She's already done. All right,
I picture like a whole piece of corn, like a whole full corn. You're throwing
I'm
going to
look
hole.
Up no. where that came from.
All right. I'm beanbag assuming toss. That cornhole. Maybe it came toss. From they were tossing corn in the hole.
I'll stick to my guns, even though I'm outnumbered.
I think it's just a southern way to say it. But all right, so we just talked about Greg Hardy, and just want to give a few more thoughts. Blythe, in the break, you were saying kind of that it terrifies you, the fact that he's free.
Oh, me.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, that would be you.
Yeah.
You're Donna.
Well, you said, well, no, you said Blythe.
Oh, I did?
Yeah.
As I was staring at you?
That's why I was, I didn't know what you were doing, but yes. Well, it terrifies
I'm flustered,
me for the fact of, and I'm so
flustered.
Sorry that we got some, you know, tweets in about, you know, that people understand that it's afraid, they are afraid to stand up to this abusive relationship, but it freaks me out and scares me that, well, he's free and he can do this again. And the likelihood of him doing it again, how have we seen him on the sidelines, is probably high. So, you know, I can't even imagine going through that for trial after trial. But if he was just put away in jail, he wouldn't have the ability to do that again.
One of the sad parts to me is that shouldn't the evidence be enough without, you know, having to have her in court time and time again? And I haven't been in the legal system in that situation, so I don't know exactly how that works, but you would hope that she wouldn't have to face him. But I also understand that when you're going through that long of a process, it's on your mind day in and day out. And the reason to me that this is so extremely disgusting is because you've got a guy, this happened like a year ago, and the first time he apologized was a couple days ago. Mm-hmm. This guy doesn't feel any remorse.
And he only apologized because probably someone...
It came to light,
him.
Right.
Because the pictures came out.
Right.
Yeah.
So you've got an owner of a team who's got this guy who has physically beat a woman to a pulp. I mean, I heard Jeff Prosser say this morning, her feet have bruises. Like, you always picture women when they get beat up, like, the eye, mm-hmm. you know, what is that called? Black eyes. Mm-hmm. Thank you. And... losing my mind. And then bruises, like, she had bruises under her chin. Like, yeah. There's yeah, no there's
chest.
No skin there. Right. And, like, those areas. And this owner is employing this person.
Right.
In any other company, I feel like in the history of America, if your employee was found to be doing this, you would say, you're fired. Like, it's not even a difficult decision. You are taking a woman who is someone's daughter, someone's sister, And someone's granddaughter, and you're saying, like, we by Jerry Jones allowing Greg Hardy to stay on this team, he is saying that is okay.
Right.
Without just releasing him the moment that he found out. And even if he didn't then, now that the pictures are out, be
right.
done.
Right.
Be done with this entire situation. And you know what his quote was when he was asked? he was asked, has the fact that people have been kind of, you know, attacking the Cowboys naturally, has that been warranted? Has the criticism been warranted? Oh, I don't have a thought there.
That's because
I could stop right there
and
attack that comment. And then he says, but what I do know is as an organization and as a team over the years, we basically try to make personnel decisions that are in the best interest of winning football games.
You make all the personnel decisions.
And you make terrible ones typically. But second of all, more importantly, you're going to take a lousy football victory over the health and safety of a human being?
Yes, he will.
And that is where, and I know people say, you know, Roger Goodell has done a lot, and he has. But this Demora Smith character, that's the president, and I never say his name right, so it may be Demoris or whatever.
You got it, Demoris.
I got it. All right, thank you. The way it's spelled, there's a Y, so I always think Demoris. The fact that he, like, helped Greg Hardy's suspension go from 10 games to 4 games is also, like, extremely troublesome. You're fighting for this person?
Yeah.
I don't understand how that's even remotely acceptable. Like, how can there not be a, you are out of the league forever?
I think this particular case happened in between Ray Rice and the new agreement that they had between the Players Association and the league. So this was the one case that was sort of in between. The NFL suspended him, suspended Greg Hardy for 10 games, and the Players Association reduced it to 4. And they said he could probably get it reduced even more because there was no precedence set in place for this.
All right. And so here's the...
That's the rule. It sucks, but that was the rule.
And that's the job of the Players Association, is to fight for their players and their legal rights. Mm-hmm. And legally, they didn't have any grounds to suspend him for 10 games.
And here's the way it should work. So Jose Reyes, MLB baseball player, right? Major League baseball player. He also was recently arrested and charged with allegedly assaulting his wife, Colorado Rockies player.
Come on, in Hawaii.
So here's how it should work, which is how Major League Baseball addresses it. Mm-hmm. The Major League Baseball commissioner can suspend or kick him out without any proof, without any sort of court conviction. He has that power. How on earth does the NFL, Roger Goodell, with $32 million a year, not have that power?
Because the owners pay his bills. That's why.
No, he has that power,
and that power has been stripped from him. That's why they are able to go to, you know, the courts, which is, you know, what you have seen lately with all of, you know, his suspension reduced, other suspensions
reduced.
They'll
go to court till the day they die over Deflategate, but not over something like this.
Right. So.
And that's what makes me sick. You look at another organization and be like, hey, they got it right. There's a real person who can look at it case by case and not, maybe the court gets it wrong or maybe she stops fighting. So then this is the common sense way of doing things. Like, on Sunday, my grandfather was asking me, he's 94, was asking me what was going on with this Greg Hardy stuff. And I showed him the picture. And his reaction, because he only has a couple, is, not a couple, but a couple reactions like this. Holy Moses. But then he looks over and he says, that is not a man. Mm-hmm. And it was like, can we not figure that out? He's not a man. Kick him out. I'm done.
I think you're definitely right that the Goodell should take actions like this, but I think it's also a slippery slope as far as the moral ground is concerned. Whenever you are taking legal decisions and you're putting them in the league's hands, mm-hmm. instead of letting the judicial system play its course and let the evidence present itself. But in Greg Hardy's case, he was convicted. So I think that there were grounds there, but then it comes to, well, what if this happens again? And why shouldn't he do the same thing to such and such player? I think it was former Arizona player Darryl Washington. He broke his girlfriend's collarbone while she was pregnant.
Mm.
And he's not playing. There's no images. There's no pictures, no videos. But he's not playing right now. He got the mandatory suspension, which was, I guess, they came to that decision after the whole Greg Hardy fiasco.
If there were pictures of that, I wouldn't be surprised if someone, like, took him out.
I mean, if the Cowboys didn't sign him, was a team actually going to sign him?
They said there were two teams that were interested in rumors. It was the Bucks and the Cowboys.
And the Bucks are like, thank goodness.
Well, I think you kind of, and this is where like a little bit of me, like karma wise, comes into play. Like, look at the Panthers' record post Hardy,
yep, right?
And then look at the Cowboys' record with Hardy. And yeah, I think that there's something to be said about that.
That's how I feel about another issue.
Oh, Deflategate.
Yeah, have fun, Colts, and have fun, Baltimore.
speaking of the team in our hometown, the Jags. Well, we aren't really speaking of them, but they, at one point, we had talked about potentially the Jags signing Greg Hardy. So thank you, Jags, for being smarter than that and not doing that. And we will talk about the Jags. And I would love to say the win right now, but didn't exactly play out that way. But we will talk about that and how it affects our bet coming up next on Helmets and Heels, built by Dream Fighters Homes on 1010 XL on 2.5 FM.
You're listening to Helmets and Heels, built by Dreamfinders Homes on 1010 XL, 92.5 FM.
Get to talk. Hi, welcome back to Helmets and Heels, built by Dreamfinders Homes. You can't sit there and just lip sync, Lauren.
Oh, of course I can. Everybody's enjoying Florida Georgia Line. It's Shine. Everybody loves this. Everybody, except people who don't like country music, which is, I've learned in my life, a large contingent,
yeah,
actually.
It's so funny. I'm so biased that whenever someone says they don't like it, I'm like, but why?
I automatically think like no it? Morals.
Like, what do you mean? Okay. What's not to like? And I actually have recently met people that don't like it, and they're like, all they sing about is beer cans and trucks. I'm like,
and dirt roads. Right. Come on.
Which, on the new Old Dominion album, there is a song called Beer Can and a Truck Bed.
It's like,
but
the
it's actually great. It's
the
if you listen to the lyrics,
song.
Especially, like, yeah, they do a really good play on words.
It's good.
It's great.
But every genre of music has their little,
for sure,
stereotypes.
Like, rap is, you know,
really inappropriate to play on the radio.
Yeah, you take that one.
It's really inappropriate, that's all.
Yeah, no. There are certain rap songs that I like. It's just the large majority. I personally cannot stand listening to stuff with certain words and so, or yeah, certain like phrasing, or
that's
if it
like
does
Nelly.
Mention like
Nelly's good.
Stop.
Nelly's great. Do you know what I heard?
Can we not?
Wait. Do you guys remember this song? Because this was like ninth grade for me.
Lord.
So of course we're
ninth grade.
It.
Do you
it's
remember?
Not gonna be Nas.
Do you remember the song Pop, Lock, and Drop It?
Yes.
They played it in my Uber this weekend. It came on.
First of all, I'm proud of you for taking an Uber. Second of all, let's get to some Jags football.
Sorry.
No, you're sorry. Good. So, all right. Blythe posed a great question. All these Jags losses have been piling up. So, are you accepting the losses or are you still getting frustrated?
Honestly, yeah, I'm just accepting them by now. And I know you're not supposed to. I know you're not supposed to. You always want more out of your football team. But it's gotten to the point where it's just numb now. And I think it also helps that it decided to rain record amounts in where I live on Sunday. So I lost my DirecTV signal several times. So I didn't get to see a lot of the pivotal plays during the game. So I think that sort of helped my stress level. I didn't send out nearly as many angry tweets as I usually do. So I think maybe somebody was looking out for me.
Someone probably thought you were growing up, and then now they
no,
find out
not
it's
really.
Just a loss
just
of signal.
She must be drinking a ton. She doesn't have time.
Donna, what about you? You're tricky because you have a team that's soaring as well as a team that's plummeting.
I know, and I keep telling my mom this, and I know I say it every week. I can't watch them at the same time. I can't watch 2 1 o'clock games because I get so excited at one, and then I turn to the other. I'm like, well, why can't you do what that one did? It's crap. So when I take them aside and separate them, it's actually not that bad. Now, I still think they could go 7-9, and so does Blythe, and we didn't pick them to win against the Jets. Yeah, Lauren apparently did.
It comes to my attention that I did. I really thought I picked a loss, but regardless.
I'm currently laundering my Garnet and Gold gear for you. Well, I'm going to dry cleaned.
Should I let y'all in on a little secret? Because I've been holding it all week, and I said I wasn't going to say a word.
Oh, no.
But the really honest Lauren is coming out right now, and your faces right now are priceless.
I'm so scared.
No, you shouldn't be scared. So,
You love Garden?
If you do math, I can't lose the bet. Y'all two are sitting at 7-9, so if the Jags do really bad, y'all lose. One of y'all loses. If the Jags do really well, Amanda, you lose. You're at 5-11. I'm right in the middle of all of y'all, so I can't lose.
Dang it. Why?
But you're currently losing right now.
Sure, I'm losing right now, but there's no way I can lose because I'm in the middle.
You better knock on some wood.
It was whoever does the worst. I'm literally in the middle. I cannot lose mathematically.
Yes, you really can.
I've been holding this as a secret all week. But, like I said, honest, do-gooder Lauren.
Well, you
wait,
know what?
Wait.
Now we have to redo because that's not even fair.
Whoever gets closest to the record.
Leave it to the Gator to cheat on this.
No. But see, closest to the record, Blythe, I can't lose.
No, you can.
I'm in the middle. I can't.
I need to think through this. I can't math right now, but there's got to be a way.
Don't make me math
now. You can do it all you want. I can't lose. But either way, what I've decided so that I am actually participating is I'm going to have to stick with Amanda's 5-11, and then we will have to split based off of who predicts the, what did we decide on, final score as a tiebreaker?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Right? Yeah. So I'll have to do 5-11, so y'all be at 7-9, so I'm at 5-11.
Well, I'll just bump mine up to 8-8 if you want.
Well, no, because then
that
7-9. No, because then, 7-9 and 6-10 still have a statistically a higher probability of winning.
They do.
Right. So that's why I wanted to make it fair. But I also was never going to tell y'all this and just ride into the sunset with the fact that I couldn't lose.
And I never would have known.
No. I know.
But we're all 1-0 right now. You're the only one who's 0-1.
I know.
I can't do this math right now.
It's all good. Anyway, back to the Jags.
Yeah, back to the Jags.
This is what I have a question about. I have a question for Bortles, which I would love to ask him. And I want to know, when he goes out there, does he anticipate plays, or does he expect his wide receivers to make the plays, or does he feel like he has to make the plays? Because he holds on to the ball, I feel, too long, and he looks like he needs to make the plays for his wide receiver to be open, whereas that ball should have already been out, and people like Julius Thomas, you can't say anything about A-Rob because and Hearns, they just keep making ridiculous catches. But the ball should be out so much faster, and they break loose. It's not up to him. The wide receiver needs to break away.
Well, I think you have a couple different things that are going wrong. First and foremost, yes, you have a second-year quarterback who is going to process the field a little bit slower than the quarterback that you're used to watching every week.
But it's not. I mean, it's not comparing those. I mean, if you look at, I mean, you can even look at Derek Carr. You can look at, you know, other ones. It's just, I don't know if he feels like he needs to make the plays or if he knows that his wide receivers are the ones and tight ends that need to make the plays.
I think it's all of the above. I think it's a mix of everything. You know, Blake's timing has a lot to do with whether or not the receivers have time to make the play.
He's not looking anybody off either.
Right. But I know for a fact that he has complete confidence in Allen Robinson and Allen Hurns and even Brian Walters now. But with Julius Thomas, he's been away for so long. And, you know, I don't know if it's his ab injury now that he's been back or something, but there's that chemistry that's been off. So that's the exception. But I think as far as holding the ball for so long, I think that's just it's timing and seeing his receivers being open.
When the offensive line isn't helping at all either. And so I think if you get consistent time to be able to evaluate, the faster your timing starts to work in your head and you do get to release it. But are there times that it's having nothing to do other than it's his fault entirely? Absolutely. 100%.
Yeah.
There were a couple times during the game where I saw that he was looking directly at the wide receiver before the ball was even snapped. So he was displaying with his eyes and with his, I guess, his whatever he's doing with
like
his body.
Like he's saying, get open,
right.
I'm supposed to go to you.
And
no,
the defenders can see that, and they know they're targeting him. Yeah. So it's very simple to target one guy on the field versus the rest of them.
And there's times that I have no issue with the plays that they run, but the timing of the play calling. That's my issue. Because every now and then you're like, wow, that was a great play. Wow, that was a great play. Why did you choose to do this play here? Why is this person running this? Like, it's very questionable with a fine line between the play calling and the plays that they're choosing. Do you
get
what
I'm saying?
Like the
personnel?
Yeah, like I don't have really a big issue with the plays they're running, but when they call them,
the personnel,
like,
and the execution.
Oh, that play that just failed would have worked really nice here.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what you do on first down, what you do on second down, what you do on third down.
Situational.
Yeah, I don't know, that's my issue.
I thought overall the game plan was pretty good for the going up against the number two defense in the league, and especially those two really good cornerbacks in Antonio Cromartie and Darrell Revis. And the fact that both receivers got over 120 yards, I mean, that's astounding to mm-hmm. me. So there were really good things. The run defense was really, really, really
defense
good.
Defense played really good.
But, like, you know, a lot of people want to mention linebacker Paul Posluszny, the Mike linebacker, like, it shouldn't be in pass coverage, you know? And that's probably true, but they also then had the injury with Dan Skuda and his groin, so they couldn't necessarily utilize him as often. And so it just seems like we could talk. I feel like every week we talk with every loss almost in circles. Like, all right, well, this improved. This was terrible. This improved. And then the next game, it's all different stuff. And then it's like, okay, well, yep, they're somewhat close, yet we're not. I didn't have any confidence, even though supposedly I picked to win. I had no confidence that we were going to go up there and win. And I have no confidence that we're going to beat the Ravens either. Not because the Ravens are fantastic, just because I think they know what they're doing better than we do.
I think it was a turnover battle, too. I mean, it's tough lose four offensive possessions.
Yeah.
And win.
You can't do that. No. Right.
But still came down to the final couple minutes, so this is a little encouraging.
Yeah, if you guys were encouraged because it was such a close game.
Nearly every game this season has been close.
I know.
Yeah.
But to me, this was the most put-together game for me.
Offensively or overall?
Overall. There's been, up until this point, there's been a game where I'm like, well, the defense blew that one. Well, the offense blew that. Special teams, that sucked. And this was the most complete. Did they win? No, so it doesn't matter. But to me, this was the most complete.
You mean of the losses?
Correct.
Yeah, I gotcha. Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I think I just lost so much excitement. And so then the news came out today about Andrew Luck and the laceration in his kidney, which sounds absolutely, terrifying. And I saw Hayes Carlin of the Times Union tweet, like, hey, if it's me, and that's my 26-year-old franchise quarterback, I'm not playing him the rest of the season. I'm putting him on IR. And he's like, what do I know? And I completely agree with him, except for the fact that if Andrew is obviously able to come back to full percentage and he's fully, truly healed and they are competing for the division championship.
I mean, Matt Hasselbeck stepped in very nicely for
exactly.
him. Exactly. So it's not like it's a huge...
And I feel like there were some Jaguar fans today who got really excited when they saw that Luck injury news. I'm like, guys...
We still have
the 40-year-old Hasselbeck.
Right.
Like, it doesn't change anything.
No, it really doesn't.
I mean, if you look at it, are we better than last year? Sure. Is this good enough? Of course not. We have two wins.
Right.
It's like that Big Cat Country article where they said, we keep getting close, but we'll make the playoffs in 2022.
It's funny.
We'll get there. We're close, guys.
I actually wrote a blog post today, and the title is "Why Jaguars Are Closer Than You Think." And I wrote that because being around them all the time, it seems like, oh, well, of course they're gonna win. Hearing Gus talk, he's so positive. He's uplifting. Like, he's happy. He has faith. He's confident. Being around the players, they're confident too. They know that they can do their job. They are mentally tough. They're prepared. They're never like, oh, I don't know what I'm doing, but we'll figure it out. Like, all the pieces are there. And then when you watch it on the field, it doesn't happen. But because of those things, that's why I just feel like it's coming. Whether it happens at the end of this season or the start of the next, I don't know.
I've heard that for so long.
I know. I know that.
So long. And
I know.
It's just, it's like the old saying, I'm not mad, I'm just disappointed.
Right. Right.
Yeah. Which is always, by the way, way worse if someone says that to you.
So much worse.
Oh, my gosh. Like, growing up, I would have way rather my parents been mad at me or my teacher been mad at me than disappointed
in me. Well, that's a tactic. And now you get to use it on your kids one day.
Oh, I use it all right. Oh. So, top-selling female jerseys in the United States. I'm sure a lot of people are not aware and would not ever in a million years, well, in a million tries, choose the overall top-selling jersey. So we are going to talk about that. And if you had the NBA trophy for 24 hours, what would you do with it? Those are our topics coming up next on Helmets and Heels Built by Dreamfinders Homes on 1010 XL 92.5 FM.
Jaguars football by women, for women, and men. Helmets and Heels built by Dreamfinders Homes on 1010 XL 92.5 FM.
And cold beer
not,
on
not
Friday
here to,
night.
Take it back, but she's coming. So I guess I'll have to do it. I'll have to talk over Zach Brown. But, you know, there are worse things.
I didn't like his bald head when he performed at the CMAs.
I don't think he gets to necessarily control how much hair he has, Amanda.
But
no,
Chris Stapleton,
shaved
though,
his head.
He has hair. He does have hair.
Right, that's what I mean.
He probably gets tired of dealing with it while on the road and all that good stuff, you know?
I mean, it's not like he had long, luscious locks.
You're right.
Am I being too critical? I'm being really mean.
That's all right. To me, he can sing all day, every day. And yes, yeah. Chris Stapleton
and Bey. They killed him.
Timberlake, a.k.a. Yeah, so I've been a Chris Stapleton fan for a long time. Mm-hmm. And I was so excited that now lots of other people got to jump on the Chris Stapleton
bandwagon. It's kind of, I don't know, it's kind of weird for me because he was like my thing. Like, nobody really knew about him, and now everybody's singing his songs in the stands, and I'm like, just stop. You didn't like him a long time ago, so you're not allowed to.
Yeah, well, I always figure the more people we have on our side, the better.
I guess,
yeah. So I was going to hold off on Suds and Duds and get to some of the topics first, but I know everyone's excited to share there, so we will get things kicked off here. D-Marf, who's your stud?
My stud is with a team that we air on this station.
Ooh, local flavor.
Saturdays. This is Navy football. For dominating and beating Memphis.
Yep.
45-20.
Taking down the unbeatens, who people had been talking about should be in that top four for the college football playoff rankings. And down goes Memphis.
And, yes, I know I have a soft spot in my heart for the midshipmen, but still, come on. They dominated that game. Dominated. They left. Memphis had goose eggs. 0-0 in both second and fourth quarter.
Wow.
Pretty good.
Phenomenal.
And since we won't be on air tomorrow, happy Veterans Day to all active duty veterans.
Yes, tomorrow.
Yeah, and just to tie in with that, Monday night is the first UNF basketball game. It's our military appreciation night. So we will have lots of military-focused stuff, and we'll be honoring and recognizing veterans and active duty military. So if people want to go to that, of course, unifosprays.com. All right, Blythe, your stud, please.
My stud is Cam Newton. Not only is he leading his team to undefeated record, but on Sunday, whenever he scored a touchdown, he went to try to take the ball and give it to a little kid. But I think it was Julius Peppers that took the ball from him, threw it off to the side. He still went and got the ball and gave it to the little boy. Turns out, unbeknownst to Cam Newton, that the little boy just lost his father.
Aww.
And so he was attending his first Panthers game ever with his two grandfathers.
Aww.
And so in that case, I thought it was just really, really great. Not That's only perfection. Is, I mean, Cam Newton is, you know, say what you want about it, him, his time in college, but in the pros, I think he's been nothing but stand up. And I've heard stories about him where he'll take pictures with fans and, you know, fans have like alcoholic drinks with them. Like he'll say, you know, put the drinks off to the side. I don't want to be photographed with drinks in my hand. You know, it just kind of the opposite of what I guess you would expect out of a young quarterback, especially a fresh face like him. And a beautiful smile, too.
I got to meet him.
Oh, that's right.
And touch his back. Keep going.
No, that's it. That's done. I just thought it was a really cool story.
That is. That's an awesome story. I missed that one.
I want to know why Julius Peppers took it away. What? Like, why was he being...
Well, he used to play for the Panthers, so I think it was kind of like a little bit of a
so
showboating.
Yeah, a kid?
Well, no, he took it away from Cam.
Oh.
Cam wanted the ball, and he took the ball, and Peppers threw it away, and
got
Cam
it.
Went and got the ball, and got then it. Took it back to the little boy.
I think Amanda was too busy researching her stud to pay attention to the full story.
No. No, I have a stud. My stud is finding the light in a dark place, like when Florida State loses to Clemson. But then Jimbo Fisher, your head coach, is super classy and tells Dabo Swinney, go win it all.
That was cool. I did hear that.
Super cool. We talked about this on the Frangie show, and Blue was not okay with me agreeing with that. But We held hands and sang Kumbaya. But I think it's a cool move because of the fact that it's, you know, Florida State was number one at one point, and now it's Clemson's turn, and they're in the same conference, and the ACC isn't a top dog conference to begin with, so it's cool that Clemson gets to represent the ACC, And it makes the ACC look good if he goes all the way.
Do you think that this is sort of kind of like what the SEC does in supporting, like, SEC? Like, do you think it's along those lines?
Yeah,
where the
absolutely.
ACC is coming up and trying to support each other?
Yeah, I think unless you're playing each other, I think conferences support each other, and they should. That doesn't always happen because, mm-hmm. obviously, it's super competitive, so I get it. But in this game, Jimbo knew going in that it was a long shot for Florida State to win. And Clemson's a better team, so I like that he took the high road and he wasn't like, oh, they're big jerks just because they're better than us. No, they're better than you. What are you going to do about it? Like, yeah, wish them well. Cool. Rick thinks I'm being naive, but hey. I think it's a cool move.
I actually agree with you. And I know the SEC has always gotten bad rap for that. Like, people from other conferences are always like you don't hear us saying Big Ten.
Right.
I'm like, well, you're dumb not to because, to be honest, it's a subjective system. The better your conference is as a whole, the better off you are in the college football playoff rankings.
Right.
And then the next year, you know the reason right now Alabama's ranked over Ohio State? Because everyone thinks the SEC is better than the Big Ten.
Right.
So therefore, the better your conference is, the better off you'll be.
Yep.
But yeah. So I've always laughed at when, you know, I've heard criticism from other people.
Danny Cannell and some other fill-in on the Russillo show, they got into it pretty heated, and they were ripping the SEC apart for that sort of mindset.
I don't like Danny Cannell to begin with, so.
I really like it. Side note, I really like that show.
Because he played for Florida State.
That has nothing to do with it.
Oh. He's actually really good on the radio.
Maybe the radio. I only watch him on TV, and I'm not that impressed, but that's just my
Russillo
opinion.
Russillo and Cannell.
Could be wrong.
It's one of my favorites.
So I have a lot of studs. One was mentioned on our show earlier, Helga Peachman, that penalty kick that was scored literally like the craziest penalty kick I've ever seen. I've never seen something ricochet and go in. It was incredible. So it involves legs. And then the Florida kicker, Austin Harden, he's had a really funky year where he's made some really nice kicks and then missed some really easy kicks. And everyone kind of wondered, has there been something going on mentally with him? And, like, why doesn't McElwain trust this guy? He was the original starter, obviously. Then McElwain tweeted out to have lots of different kickers show up. So, you know, obviously as a Florida fan, I'm watching that game sick to my stomach. Like, oh, my gosh, we're really potentially going to lose. This was, you know, the easy win, so to speak. It's homecoming, all this stuff. And so, long story short, he makes the kick. Oh, wasn't sure if he was going to, and it was a career long for him. So, I know it's close to home, and you always give me that face when I pick Florida players, but...
How many weeks in a row is it?
I think it's, like, only two.
No. No.
Doubtful.
I picked two.
Whatever.
And they both benefit me, okay? It's a world that... Or what is it? Y'all are just living in my world.
Yeah, you're regional. Yeah, we're national.
It's my world. Okay. You're just living in it.
Exactly. Which is not at all how it is. But yes. All right, D-Murph, give us your dud.
This is so easy. Come on. I mean, we can't do, obviously, Jerry Jones and Greg Hardy every
week. Don't do it.
Right, we could.
Don't do it, Donna.
I'm not. You see it?
Yeah.
Of course he is.
Who's yours?
Akeem Tlaib.
That was mine.
Ah, that was mine too.
He should be almost everybody's.
Yeah.
I don't believe him one bit. I was just trying to poke his head. No, you were not. You have been a scumbag for quite a while. And I know, even though you were on New England, you were a scumbag then. You didn't want to listen to any rules. And look at you. He's suspended for one game, as he should be.
And for someone with... I have a really impaired vision in one eye, and like I know what can happen to a little bit of trauma to your eye. So to me, when I hear stuff like that, it gives me chill bumps because I'm like, you really could damage his eye forever. And then hopefully at that point you would realize that you're an idiot, but then it's too late also.
It was also a costly penalty too.
Yeah.
And they only lost by 3 points. So you could say that that directly affected the ending of that game.
Now I wonder if Manning got in his face. You know, there's quarterbacks that will, but I don't know if he is.
I don't think so. And if he does do it, he's going to do it privately. I don't think I've ever seen Manning get emotional towards another player on the field.
I don't think so.
He usually keeps
He just shakes
collected.
His head.
Yeah.
That big forehead.
You'll see him get disappointed, I don't think I've ever seen him yell at somebody else.
Yeah.
Not like an Aaron Rodgers, who's kind of a big baby. So. He could be sort of a dud. That whole, the Packers sideline this past week?
Yeah, what happened? He wrecked the tablet?
Yeah, he had just thrown a pick, and then he was watching what happened on the play, and then he threw the Microsoft Surface tablet in frustration, which I'm sure, like, Microsoft's a little happy about that extra airtime.
I don't know. The NFL, did they fine him yet?
He's sort of like the golden boy. He's not going to get.
Oh, please.
He's not going to get fined.
I'm an idiot, by the way. Had Aaron Rodgers on my bench and started Phillip Rivers because my projection, of course, was that the Bears were going down in a...
That was everyone's projection.
Right, in a sea of Chargers touchdowns.
No,
I didn't know that you could tie in fantasy football, but I freaking tied this weekend. 138-138.
You don't do decimals?
I guess not.
Oh, you gotta do decimals.
I'm not ESPN. I just have the
You
app.
Don't play Phillip Rivers after the second half of the season.
You true.
Don't.
But it was the
he
Bears.
Not
the Bears.
Last night I will say that I enjoyed watching Phillip Rivers on the sidelines at least. I just think it's so cool like how pumped up he is to like support his team and then you have on the other end Cutler.
You like him. You like Phillip Rivers?
Yeah.
I always thought when I was in college I always thought Phillip Rivers was cute.
You know he has 8 kids?
I do know that.
I was just going to say he has like 17 children.
Eight kids.
He just always looks angry. Why? No, why are you always looking angry?
He wasn't angry last night.
He has 7 more children than the 4 of us combined.
That's probably why he's so angry, because he has 8 kids.
Meanwhile, Cutler's married to Kristen Cavallari, who tweeted out, like, Mr. Fourth Quarter does it again.
Oh, God.
Right? But he really does
again?
Have a legitimate...
Since when?
He's really good at fourth quarter comebacks, so
nobody
whatever.
Nobody
Amanda,
cares.
Amanda,
I hate Jay Cutler so much.
We all care about your dud, I promise.
You do?
Yes, we're going to be there right now.
My dud is probably my best yet.
Oh.
She's setting the bar low.
Today I discovered there is such thing as a clip-on man bun.
Oh, you just now found out about that?
Yeah, that's been around for a while.
Oh, I think Blythe did a whole story on Guys Girl about it. Guysgirl.com.
Thanks.
Go there for all the stories.
So your dad is the clip-on man bun?
So you clearly read Guys Girl.
I read Guys Girl like 24/7.
In her defense, I think that might have been before she came to Jacksonville. Not that Guysgirl.com didn't exist.
It's definitely been around for about
a year. Yeah.
It just showed up on my feed today, and they're selling them on Groupon for $9.99.
Yeah.
Why did
I late to the party, Missy.
It sounds like you're interested in purchasing one.
No, I mean,
you want one
don't you?
The man buns are gone now. Apparently, it's about the man braid, which is like French braids.
No.
For guys.
Ew!
Stop.
I have a girlfriend who is a hairdresser, and she was showing me pictures of it, and I about barfed. It's too much.
And then you did for real.
It's too much, too much.
Wow, I'm really upset.
I'm really sorry. I could name some other duds since we were all going to do Aqib Talib. I mentioned Jose Reyes earlier. He's a dud.
Technically, he's not a dud because he won.
The referees for the Gator game, they were duds. There was another one. Oh, I know. I was going to do... Dustin Johnson and his wife Paulina.
I thought that was cute.
And we'll talk a little bit about that for people who don't know. So she posted a picture.
Someone
on Instagram.
Doesn't read her.
Yeah.
You guys send like 17 emails at once, and you expect me to see all of them.
See, I tried
we
a long
see all of them.
Time ago to get everything streamlined with Evernote, with getting you ladies hooked into some 21st century technology, and they refused.
Listen, I am
That's
all
not true.
For it.
I started with Evernote, and then
but
we
gotta
just
But you got to keep going with it. And now we have 30 emails to sort through each week instead of just one document that we
right,
just
Right, but
look
for
at.
The most part, we only send out one with the meat of the information.
Yeah, but
and like,
then as they come in, they get buried, and I'm like, what are they talking about? Like, I'm on email 17, and you guys are talking about something from email 7, and I have to go all the way down to catch up. And who has time for that?
So,
not this girl.
So Dustin Johnson, the famous golfer, his wife posted a picture on Instagram of her in pretty scantily clad is even the wrong word.
Like, she lingerie. Posted it or he posted it?
She posted the picture.
Okay.
And it's lingerie. And it's not just like a onesie dress or something. And onesie's the wrong word.
Oh,
clearly,
onesie
I don't
dress.
Have like lingerie terminology off the top of my head. But it's like what I would picture as being in like the back of Victoria's Secret. You know,
oh,
like the
wow.
like really sexy.
Like
section.
Garter belts. Pantyhose.
Yeah.
Heels.
And like a lot of her shown.
Wow.
And so she's, and not that there's a lot of her, but a lot of what she does have is shown. So she's like, I can't wait for you to come home, Dustin. And then it's signed like Dirty Diana, which is not her name. Her name's Paulina, but that must be her, like his pet name for her. I don't know.
Alter ego.
Yeah. So I was going to say, like, I'm all for the sexy picture of yourself, but why wouldn't you just text it to your husband instead of posting it for all the world to see? Just because to me, that's.
Because they are. That's what they do.
That's who they are. Yeah,
yeah.
They are like that, but I don't like it.
I don't know.
Either.
I'm kind of impartial to it.
That makes it less romantic.
No.
Oh, you got to see her Halloween picture.
Yes.
Yeah. Look at, he was a vampire.
Oh, yeah,
right?
Yeah. I thought they looked great.
She was a vampire temptress, whatever. I don't know.
Oh, yeah, I'm fine with that.
Yeah.
It's Halloween.
That's how they are.
Yeah.
Apparently, Halloween, which I guess is now the official look like a tramp.
It's been like that for a long time.
Why?
Longer than the man buns have been around. Because it's the only excuse that you have to really dress risque out in public.
Right.
I mean, you can always come up with other excuses, but...
Why can't you be fun and go as like a Ghostbuster?
I dress as a wizard. I mean...
That doesn't surprise me one bit.
I know.
I mean, years ago I dressed, you know, like... This is so lame. I was a sexy referee.
Oh.
So lame.
I just don't... I don't under... Whatever.
Did you wear the high boots? Oh,
yes.
Gosh. She's
and then
the
whistle at a flag.
Right. Skirt.
Oh, no.
But, you know, shorts and heels. Sure. And I had a striped shirt. And it was tied.
Well, ladies and gentlemen...
I've been there.
What have you dressed as sexy
like,
for Halloween,
I feel
Mithy?
Like in my early college years, I made some questionable decisions.
See, and that's, mine was like 10 years, so it was like early, like
right.
college. So it was just
yeah.
like, you'd make those, you'd like a kitten or something.
I did the German girl beer girl.
Yeah.
I've been
see?
That before too.
Yeah. yeah. It's easy. So yes, Donna, it's out there and yeah. you're loving it.
I do. I love it.
And then you grow up and you're embarrassed.
And then you dress yeah. like a wizard.
And then, you're never going to dress like that. Top-selling jerseys, female jerseys. And what we think about when we go to buy a jersey is coming up right after this on 10 to Next on 2.5 FM. Helmets and Heels built by Dream Fighters Home.
Some folks like to get away, take a holiday from the neighborhood. Hop a flight to Miami Beach or to Hollywood. But I'm taking a Greyhound on the Hudson River line. I'm in a New York state of mind.
Girls just want to talk football. More Helmets and Heels, built by Dreamfinders Homes. Now on 1010 XL, 92.5 FM.
So one of us is in a New York state of mind.
I'm so excited.
This. Amanda Deer is Billy Joel.
Yes.
And this, I've seen this song live, is amazing. But that's not the point. The point is you're going to New York City.
Yeah. I'm so excited. It's been, I've been a bunch, but it's been 4 or 5 years since I've been back. And it'll be my first time at Madison Square Garden for Cavs Knicks on Friday night. So
yay.
I'm super pumped. And we're going to do, there's some people up there who live up there. And so since we've done the touristy stuff before, we're going to really see like the local scene, which
that's
I'm excited
awesome.
About.
Yeah.
That's
I've only really been to New York cool. City once. It was in July. And I went for a concert. So I did get to go to Madison Square Garden. Of course, I went for a concert. The problem was it was so hot up there. So I'm excited for you going this time of year.
It's like
so
50s.
Nice.
Yeah. Oh,
so I
perfect.
Got all my winter clothes, like my Florida
that's
winter clothes.
Awesome.
Good. My Florida winter clothes. I like how you say it like that.
Excited.
Yay. Yeah. Well, like you said, be sure to pack smartly so that you don't get sick or get an injury, as Amanda Borges is about to tell us with our Farrah and Farrah injury update.
The personal injury attorneys of Farrah and Farrah present this injury update. Farrah and Farrah, protecting you and your family since 1979.
Well, the Jaguars do have some injuries that they sustained in the Jets game, so we will keep our eye on those this week. Allen Hurns injured his foot on the last play of the game, but his x-ray came back normal, which is good news. Zane Beadle sprained his left knee during the game. He did return, and good news for Marquise Lee, he will get an increased workload this week.
But I wonder if that still translates to him missing the game, just
right?
Because it's an increased workload in practice. But yeah, when I read that Zane Beadle was returning with a knee
yeah.
sprain, I was really impressed.
I know.
Not although sometimes I think to myself, if you can't really play all that well, you just really want to play, then you should be
right.
smart and you know not play, but
keep yourself out.
Yeah, but yeah. overall, like I said, I was impressed. So the top selling jerseys, Blythe, you put up an article today about this. I think it was today. Was it today? yesterday, this week,
maybe
last week?
Promoted it today. It's still on. It's still
whatever
on
it was up.
The home
yeah.
page of Guys Girl.
So I said earlier, no one would ever guess the top selling jersey across all females. Joe Haden for the Cleveland Browns. First of all, the reason that surprises me is because it's the Browns. But second of all, that's a defensive player. And yeah, he went to Florida, so he's great. But for the most part, I feel like women buy offensive player jerseys. Mm-hmm. Or guys that at least like have made, you know, a huge impact.
I will say Cleveland in particular is a different breed of their own, because I've done interviews with female fans across the nation, and the most submissions I've ever gotten is from Cleveland Brown fans over Jaguar fans.
Huh.
And so you would, I mean, they're diehard fans. So I, it really doesn't surprise me. I think what more surprises me is that the state of Kentucky has some kind of infatuation with Drew Brees. That's the only one that really stuck out to me.
Yeah, that is weird.
I was really sad to find out that Blake Bortles, who was the best selling jersey for Florida last year, got eclipsed by Ryan Tannehill. Come on.
That doesn't surprise me just Florida. Because of the Miami fan base, just because the team has been around for so long that, you know, when you're a Miami fan, you just stay with it. And Ryan Tannehill is not the best player.
Maybe they're hoping that his wife, Lauren, will mistake them for him.
Yeah, there's always that.
Still kind of funny, though, that the state is still colored teal.
Yes,
I
saw
the Miami
that.
Miami color. And I was like, well, I guess somebody didn't pay attention to their Photoshop
that
colors.
That is really funny, actually.
Well, yeah, I mean, it should have been a little bit lighter, but maybe yeah. the person
a lot
doing
lighter.
It
That's
was...
definitely
yeah,
teal.
Yeah, maybe the person doing it was colorblind.
No, it's totally, totally teal. But it is kind of cool to see what we're looking at is just a big map of the U.S. and it has the name of the top-selling jersey in each state. So I'm seeing lots of orange because of Peyton Manning.
Yeah, he has a ton.
And then Russell Wilson obviously has Washington and Oregon, and then Nevada and California's Colin Kaepernick. Were there any other weird ones?
I think Drew Brees was really the weirdest one to me.
Yeah,
I don't
the
get the Kentucky connection.
Right. Right. All right, so it made me think, when going to buy a jersey, and not necessarily all people go to buy jerseys. I know a lot of guys say, I'm never wearing another guy's name on my mm-hmm. back. And then some women would say, like, jersey's not my thing. So if we go to buy a jersey, what factors into it? For me, I only own one Jaguar jersey. I had an entire thought process going into it. It was the year we had both Fred Taylor and Maurice Jones-Drew. So I thought about which one I wanted. Ended up going with Fred Taylor because he went to Florida. So I was like, all right, I have a little bit more affinity for him. And then I was really lucky because then, of course, he retired right after that. And Maurice Jones-Drew ended up leaving. So at least I felt like I could still wear the Fred Taylor jersey, because I'm a big believer that you can't buy a jersey, or you can't wear a jersey of a player that plays for a different team. Mm-hmm. Like, he could transfer and then, you know, retire. And like Maurice Jones-Drew did, now you can wear a Maurice Jones-Drew jersey. But when he wasn't playing for the Jags, then I felt like you couldn't. When I was playing for the Raiders, I felt like you couldn't wear that jersey. But so that's what factors into it for me, is probably a little bit where they went to college, and then also the long-term sustainability of the jersey, because they're on the hefty,
a little
expensive side. Yeah. Blythe, what about you?
I only own one jersey, and the only reason I own it is because it was a gift to me. I personally don't care for jerseys. I would never spend $100 on, like you said, a player that could be cut tomorrow, could be traded tomorrow. If I do go after sort of that look, it's the t-shirts and the t-shirts that have the player name on it. But I still won't buy, unless it's like a legendary player. Like I have like a big Poppy, David Ortiz t-shirt for the Red Sox. I still won't buy like just a random guy's t-shirt. Like it has to be somebody that's like, you know, Hall of Fame level, Jaguars pride level. It has to be someone in that regard. Otherwise I'm just going to buy something cute.
Yeah, I'm not really a jersey girl. I don't think I've ever worn a jersey. Now I just
But you used to paint your body.
Well, not all the way.
Oh, that's the way you made it sound.
In Key West?
What?
In high school, and she was on the spirit team.
Can I please defend myself before this goes way wrong?
Viral?
Just wrong. We were talking during the break about how much we loved high school football when we were in high school, and I actually think that's a fun topic. We all of us were very different. I said that I was never a cheerleader, but I had friends, my best friends were cheerleaders, and I had guy friends who played football, since I was on a cheerleader, I was on the spirit squad, and we would like paint ourselves maroon and white, and we like had flags and whatever. When I said I painted my body, I meant like my face.
Then why'd you say your body?
Is my face not on my body?
No, when you say I painted my body, I think you're giving the image that you're wearing the tank top with the body paint and
I'm
the
sorry.
Face.
The Garden of Eden in
Cuba. We painted our faces, but we'd paint our arms too. Like, we put handprints on our arms. Like, there'd be paint
That's
all
body
over
paint.
Us.
Yeah.
Right, but you made it sound like I was naked with body paint, because that was not the case.
No. I never said naked. I just said you used to paint your body.
Right.
Because you would rather do that than wear the jersey. That's where I was going.
Oh, you.
Don't knock it till you try it.
This harkens me back to when we had the discussion of our photo
yes,
shoot.
Yes, that's why I'm defending myself.
Right.
Because that
was all about body paint. And I remember getting the email, and I think I looked at my mom, and I was like, dear God. And she was like, no, you cannot do that. And I was like, I know.
I tried.
Yeah.
No.
And it was a lovely idea. It really was.
I just really like
y'all a couple
clothes.
Of drinks first before I ask these kind of things.
Yeah, exactly. But so I think my advice to people looking for jerseys, like to give away as presents, come holiday season is like really do think about the longevity of the jersey. Don't just buy a jersey because it's on sale necessarily, but think about how many times that jersey can be used as the person's a Jaguar.
It's actually really funny that you put so much thought into that. Because if you think of a jersey like a shirt, like would you stare at a shirt in the store for like 20 minutes thinking about how many times you're going to wear it, where you're going to wear it, will you wear this in 15 years? Like, do you do that?
It's a commitment.
No, but if I was going to buy a shirt that was over $75,
well, all
of that would run through my head.
Right.
Which I would never do, and I also would never be in a store for 20 minutes because I hate shopping. But if you're going to look online, I think those are the things to consider, you know?
Like, no,
I think
agree.
A Bortles jersey is a good investment. I think he's going to be a quarterback for a long time.
I wouldn't buy a Bortles jersey.
Maybe, like, you wouldn't buy a Bortles jersey?
I wouldn't buy it. I can't think of one person on the Jaguars that I would buy their jersey.
Ow!
And that's just, that's not, like, performance-wise. That's just preference.
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
If I were to buy one, it would have to be somebody. It would probably be like a Fred Taylor.
Yeah. I would take either the Allen Robinson or the Allen Hurns right now, just because I think they'll, if someone was buying it for me.
Win a playoff game, then we'll talk about buying jerseys.
What about Jason Myers?
I personally wouldn't want that one right now because I don't know that he's going to be on the team next year. But there are some players I think that would be good. Some. But anyway, we will check in with Fat Tony next as Blythe just draws her line in the sand. Coming up next is Fat Tuesdays. You're listening currently to Helmets and Heels, built by Dreamfinders Homes on 92.5 FM.
How deep is your love? Is it like the ocean?
You're listening to Helmets and Heels, built by Dreamfinders Homes on 1010 XL, 92.5 FM.
I don't know what this is. Is this some sort of a...
Don't look at me.
Song?
I'm the only other one with headphones on. I have no idea what this is.
I took my headphones off.
Yeah, we got girls who just, the moment they can take their headphones off, it's over now. We're going to have to ask Scott. Scott, what is that?
It says Calvin Harris, How Deep Is Your Love?
Oh, okay.
And it says, it has Amanda under it, so I thought it was one of Amanda's songs.
Oh, see, she's choosing Calvin Harris on us now. No, I have heard that song. I take that back.
I just didn't
hear it then. Hi, Tony.
Hi.
Happy Tuesday.
Yeah, it is a Tuesday.
All right.
Not
so
a happy
I asked John Osher when I saw him earlier.
Uh-huh.
I said, so where are you at this football season? Are you kind of over it at this point? Not yet. And he said, Lauren, I've done this for 20 years. You just put your head down and you work.
Right.
And I was like, yeah, but I remember where I was this time last year. And by this point, I could not wait for Thanksgiving. Like, I just need... some sort of holiday where I can immerse myself in like family and
food
and football from just a fan perspective.
Mm-hmm.
And I just needed a little break. And he said he was totally good. So I'm going to ask you, where are you at this point?
With the Jags?
The Jags and overall, like the work of football season, the workload.
I'm okay. And
good.
And actually, like, my workload this year is much more extensive than it was last year. And I'm still okay. I'm actually really enjoying the gig over at Gridiron Now because I get the opportunity. I'm watching a lot more college football than I did. So, like, when I hear people say ignorant opinions about Baylor, I have a real opinion about Baylor because they have a lot of fantasy stars. And since I write fantasy football, I've watched, like, 5 or 6 Baylor games already this year. And I'm like, no, you don't know anything about that team. And I think a lot of people have only seen Baylor play last Thursday night against Kansas State. It's the first time they saw him on the road on a Thursday with a true freshman quarterback making his first ever start, and they decided they're going to judge that team and that program based on that. But because of what I'm doing outside of just covering the NFL and the Jaguars, I feel like I'm a little more well-rounded when I'm talking about football on, you know, like a Tuesday night like tonight. As far as covering the Jags, look, I usually hit... It's usually around Thanksgiving that I hit a wall that I'm like, I'm done. Like, I'm over football season. This year, I don't feel that coming. I really don't. And I think it's partially because they are so much more competitive than they've been. So, like, every week when I go into a game, I'm like, yeah, they might win this one. I'm not saying that I expect them to go beat Baltimore, but they might win this game. And I've spent 2 years going, nope, there's no point. Why even play this one this weekend? They're not going to have a chance. And if they're within 10, it's a miracle. Like, that's how it's felt for 2 years in Jacksonville. And this year, it's like, well, why the heck are you turning it over 4 times? You know, you're playing a Jets team that there's no reason for the Jacksonville Jaguars that we've seen for 2 years to be in a football game against the New York Jets where they turn it over 4 times and almost they get the ball in their hands with a chance to go win. That's ridiculous sounding compared to where they've been for 2 years. Now, they turn it over 4 times, so they have to get the ball at the end with a chance to go win, as opposed to being up 10. I hated watching him pitch because he was so slow, and the game was so slow whenever Tommy was on the hill. He was a talented guy. He was one of those guys that came up in the Atlanta organization and was a mid-year call-up and was supposed to be that next guy for the Atlanta Braves. And for about a year and a half, it looked like he might be. And then it kind of fell off for him. Julio Teheran is more the guy who took over that kind of role with the Braves organization. And eventually Tommy was shipped out and wound up in L.A. And it's just a weird kind of shock to the system kind of story to watch somebody that young. I mean, watching people that are younger than me pass for just inexplicable reasons, that's scary stuff.
No, I know. It is. And it always comes to you when... Or at least for me, deaths always happen in that kind of like multiple thing. And so it's
the
like,
threes.
Yeah. And it sometimes it's even more than the whole three thing. It just seems like I look around and it's like, man, it's just you really have to appreciate what you have. And on those days when you want to complain about something silly, like stop and go, okay, my organs are working.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to be okay.
Right? Sure. Yeah. Right. I mean, it's a shocking story. Like when I got on Twitter yesterday, I was like, why is Tommy Hansen? Like that was I was like, why would this guy be trending? Did he do something? Like,
right.
That was my first thought. And you click and you see the story and you're like, whoa. Like, that's really scary stuff. And, tragic to
absolutely
wake up this morning and see that he passed away.
Yeah. All right. What do you have coming up besides, you know, you have said you have some college football stuff.
Yeah, I'm going to get into the playoff committee and what they had to say is they have... I enjoyed listening to Hacker talking about Notre Dame today, and there are these moments when I'm listening and I'm like, has he watched this team? Like, it just doesn't sound like some people have even watched the teams that they're talking about because it's just coming from this weird kind of place. But I'm going to talk about the release of tonight's 4 and what it looks like beyond that. The Gators right in the spot where I honestly think they should be, at least for now. And they're going to have a chance to go head-to-head probably with Alabama at the end of the year and jump up potentially into that Final Four. But we'll see what they do with the next 3 weeks. Going to talk a little bit about the Jags and the AFC South. We got a question from a caller earlier today on Jaguars Today asking, what is the win total that we think Gus Bradley needs to...
You said 6-10, right?
I think at 6-10, he's going to keep his job. At 2-14, he's going to lose his job. And it's trying to figure out what does it look like in that 3-5 range? Like, what is good enough? And going to take a look back on some of the comments that we've heard from Dave Caldwell since he got here, especially about the progress of a young team and where he expects it to be at this point in the build, and kind of try to extrapolate what that may mean for what that win total may be.
Some serious analysis going on over there.
I'm trying. I'm also going to talk a little bit about Greg Hardy, Missouri, and the power of sports,
yeah.
Really. Want to get
into
all
get into
that.
The Missouri stuff.
Yeah, the Missouri Crazy. Stuff. I watched the whole video today with the protesters interacting with media. It was fascinating stuff. Fascinating. The protesters had no idea what they were talking about, but it was fascinating. So there was some teacher on the campus that was like, "You have no right to be here, sir." And it's on a public part of the campus, and the guy's like, "Actually, the reason that you can stand here is the reason that I can be here as a member of the media. It's all the same amendment. Is the reason that we can all be here right now." But going to talk about that. Also want to get into Veterans Day a little bit with it coming up tomorrow and why November 11th would be the day that we take a look back and honor the veterans of this country, because there is a very specific reason that November 11th is the day that we recognize the veterans that come home.
And, shout out, of course, as always, to Donna Murphy's husband, who is in the Navy and serving our country day in and day out. So I had to, of course, mention him.
The studs tonight. All right. I had to walk out because I was getting ready for the show to do for the duds. I didn't hear the duds. But the studs tonight, bravo to you, Blythe, because you're the only one that didn't homer up.
I tried to keep it national.
You're the only one who didn't. Donna went with Navy. I'm not saying they were undeserving. You went with a loser head coach of your program, and you went with a kicker that I would say broke my heart, but I never expected to win that game.
Yeah, and I mean, part of the reason is I know you're coming up after, and you're a giant Commodores fan, so think that I'm not calculating in my
She calculates choices. Everything. Even how she's already won our which I'm still not exactly sure.
I wouldn't have said a word. Okay. I would have just sat there and sit and just let it play out and been like,
you said that.
Dang it! It's a shame that I didn't lose.
But I was so afraid at some point someone would figure it out, and then
she felt guilty.
No,
I'm a writer. I don't do math.
I can tell you, and it's funny, a bunch of, Gator haters that were following along with my dialogue on Twitter on Saturday watching that game, which, again, I never felt like watching that game. Oh, we got them now.
I thought you did with about 8 minutes left in the fourth. That's when I got really nervous.
No, you haven't watched Vandy football the way I have. But I could have told you before that game that it was going to be a game where I expected it to be somewhere like 17-3.
Mm-hmm.
That's honestly the kind of score I expected, because the Gators they can only run the ball, basically, and Vanderbilt's really, really good in the front seven. And we have no offense. Haven't all year. If Vanderbilt had an offense, they'd be a 6-3 football team.
Agreed.
That's the honest truth. They just have nothing even resembling offense on that football team right now. But I had people, Florida State fans and Georgia fans, and they're all tweeting me. They're like, when the sequence happened with the Vanderbilt had the 3rd and 7, and then they had the delay of game, and then we had to call a timeout after a delay of game avoid another delay of game.
Yep.
And then we got nothing on 3rd and 12, and then we punted it 13 yards. And these Florida State fans and Georgia fans are all tweeting at me. They're like, what is this? What is wrong with your football team? And I was like, I've been asking that for 25 years. I've been watching that sequence for 25 years in games this big where I'm just watching going, how can you get a delay of game? A timeout? Are you serious? And then special teams... virtually every week, I just tell my roommate will sit there and watch Vandy games with me. I'll be like, once a game, they will do something inexplicable on special teams. And this week it happened to be, we're going to kick it 10 yards with a game on the line and a team that can't move the ball on us. I was waiting for it to happen the entire game, and it finally did in the fourth quarter. And honestly, when Harden came out and made the kick, I laughed. I was just sitting in my room. I was like, I just kept waiting on it. I had no expectation that he was going to miss that kick. I know a bunch of Gator fans did.
Yeah, he's not been great this season. No. But you know what? That's why I picked him, because it was important, and so that we would be able to talk about Florida Vandy a little bit more with you. All right, Tony, have a great Bat Tuesday.
Thank you.